We begin in the name of God transcendent, and God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Thank you for your presence here this afternoon on this Ash Wednesday as we begin our Lenten journey together as a community. Trust you feel the presence of God's love, and I thank you for your presence here today. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, attend with each of us on our journeys this Lent, that our efforts would bear spiritual fruit in each of our lives, that our hearts would be receptive to your word, that our bodies would feel your life flowing through us, and that your love would feed us in the wilderness we each confront. We pray this for your glory and for our joy and spiritualization of all that exists in us, through us, and with us. Amen. And let us know. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Staying in that place of deep quiet, let us listen for God's word. The first reading is taken from Joel chapter 2. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing, offerings and libations for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is your God? Then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
The theme of our Lenten journey this year is a Lenten arising. A Lenten arising. And the inspiration for that notion came from reading Bernadette Roberts, where she said that we seek maximum arising in life when we are recognizing that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. When we know that to be true, we seek the maximum arising that will confront our shadows, ourself, not to shame us, but to free us. a Lenten arising. I have discovered in my life that I need a Lenten arising. It's kind of like a spring cleaning in a way. I was just on retreat at Nuka Modali Hermitage, which is like heaven on earth for me. I so needed the silence and the space of that beautiful place to confront myself and to experience some healing that I didn't even know I needed in the silence. I suspected it. And some things were given to me that really have blessed me deeply, and I'll share a few of them this afternoon. But I want to begin with this notion that the stuff that is arising in us during Lent is part of what Robert Augustus Masters, following people like Carl Jung, called the shadow. The shadow knows. The shadow. And when I see the ash on our foreheads, when I take the ash mark on my forehead, I'm doing it today as a reminder of the shadow that needs to arise in me to be healed. And thus we are shadow walkers in this world of half-light. We are people of the shadows. We are seeking to wake up into the light, by the light, in the light. And if it weren't for the fact of our shadows, we would be in darkness or in light. We are halfway people. That's what this planet seems to be, a halfway house. And this is how Robert Augustus Masters, in this extraordinary book that came to me right before retreat, and I said, I'll take that, thank you. And it really blessed me on the retreat. And this is how he describes shadow. And for those of you who are listening with through the ideas of the work, you will understand that this is the work. You will understand through the ideas of the programs for happiness that this is what Father Keating is speaking of. In a different way, this is a different way of speaking about it, but it's the same. Our shadow is our internal storehouse for anything in us we've disowned or rejected, or are otherwise keeping in the dark. Things such as anger, shame, empathy, grief, vulnerability, and unresolved wounding. All of that is shadow. All of us have our own shadow, which is packed with our unique assembly of those aspects of ourselves we've learned to keep out of sight. A collection accumulated over the course of a lifetime. We've learned, for reasons of survival, to deny or bury our deeper pain and core wounding. All too many of us struggle mightily to keep these matters locked away. Boy, isn't that the case? Assuming that if we do, we'll be safe, loved, and accepted, only to have them burst forth in dramatic, often upsetting ways, or rule our lives as invisible undercurrents. When our shadow is running the show, the result is often discord with others and within ourselves, with suffering and unhappiness all around, regardless of our good times. Everyone has a shadow, but not everyone knows their shadow. And the degree to which we don't know our shadow is the degree to which it influences, controls, runs us. But when we run and turn toward our shadow and explore and work with what we find there, we start to break free from the hidden forces that have been secretly controlling, driving, and binding us. Our shadow will continue impacting all that we do until we cease distracting ourselves from it. All that's needed initially is curiosity and a willingness to look in ourselves where we may not have looked before. But make no mistake, edging into our own darkness, our own sleep, our own unexplored territories, is an act of courage, and it's truly vulnerable undertaking. Lent, a Lenten arising, an undertaking for self-discovery in the context of God's love. It's not an easy process. And here's a little fun story from Pema Chodron. There's a story of a woman running away from tigers. She runs and runs, and the tigers are getting closer and closer. When she comes to the edge of a cliff, she sees some vines there. So she climbs down and holds on to the vines. Looking down, she sees that tigers are below her as well. She then notices that a mouse is gnawing away at the vine to which she is clinging. She also sees a beautiful little bunch of strawberries close to her, growing out of a clump of grass. She looks up and she looks down. Tigers above, tigers below. She looks at the mouse, and she takes a strawberry, puts it in her mouth, and enjoys it thoroughly. Tigers above, tigers below. This is actually the predicament that we're always in terms of our birth and death. Each moment is just what it is. It might be the only moment of our life, and it might be the only strawberry we'll ever eat. We could get depressed about it, or we could finally appreciate it and delight in the preciousness of every single moment of our life. I don't know what the tigers are in your life or the shadows are in your life, but I do know that the strawberry is the same for all of us. The strawberry is the Spirit of God. It is the sweetness in the darkness. The strawberry is the Word of God. That is the kindness and benevolence in the suffering. The strawberry is the risen, living Jesus Christ, a Lord of lords, a friend of friends, a presence to all strangers. The strawberries of life in the Spirit are the same for us all. Do we take the time to enjoy them? Lent is a really good season to pick some strawberries and delight in them, the sweetness of the Spirit in the darkness of this season. I have found in my journey that Lents come and go. Some seem to be more effective than others. I really don't understand it. But each Lent, this very narrow band of time, basically a tithe of the year. It's about a tenth of 365 days. It's a tithe that we offer to God and to ourselves, a narrow band of time for the arising of the shadow, for the discovery of the tigers, and for the delight in the sweetness of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. For the sake of Christ, I consent with weakness. For the sake of Christ, I consent with weakness. I consent to the weakening of my body by not eating. I consent to the weakening of my will by not having all that it wants all the time, by giving up certain things in Lent. I consent to the weakness by serving in ways I normally wouldn't serve in Lent. I consent to the weakness for the sake of Christ, not for the sake of myself, not for the sake of my shadow or for the sake of the tigers, but for the sake of Christ, who is always there, no matter how many tigers or how dark the shadow may seem. For the sake of Christ, I embrace this weakness. In this extraordinary book called The Conference of the Birds, a classic in Sufi literature, there's this line that goes like this. If your desires do not accord with your spirit, then sacrifice them. If your desires do not accord with your spirit, then sacrifice them. It's easier said than done, isn't it? But Lent is the season where we get to discover and see our desires and the shadows that are driving the desires. Lent is the season where we can, with more fierce honesty, see ourselves, see our desires, and ask for God's help to release those desires where they are not in accord with our spirit and with the Spirit. And I'll close with just two other things for your consideration. The first is the third step prayer. The third step prayer for me has become very sacred. And third step prayer, when you think about discovering the shadow, the Lenten arising, what's coming up as we confront our will, as we see the desires, what's coming up during this season for us? This is a good prayer to hold and to have in your back pocket. God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties and shadows, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would serve of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will, not my will and all its desires. Take away my difficulties and shadow, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would serve of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. A reading from the book of Sirach last week in the lectionary readings will bring all this together. From the book of Sirach, chapter 2. When you seek to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for all sorts of trials. When you seek to go on Lent, prepare yourself for all sorts of trials. Be sincere of heart and steadfast, and do not be impetuous in time of temptation or adversity. Cling to the Lord. Don't leave the Lord. So you may be fruitful. Accept whatever happens to you. In periods of humiliation, be patient. For in fire, gold is tested. So the worthy in the crucible of humiliation. Whatever you see in this Lenten journey about yourself, whatever shadows arise through the light, whatever tigers encircle your life and their desires and their will, we will ask for the strawberries to be given and provided, the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, the sweetness of the presence of God, the sweetness of the Word of God to feed us deeply. A Lenten arising, a lifetime of arising, of being born again and again, a Lenten arising through the honesty, through the vulnerability, through the silence, through the seeing, through the surrendering, a Lenten arising into a resurrection of new being, of new creation, of new fruitfulness, that we become the fruitful bride of Christ, bearing the strawberry of sweetness to the world. Lent isn't just for our personal journey and goodness. Lent truly is that we would be the living branch connected to the vine that's here to make us fruitful. And we recognize that nothing can separate us, even though the prunings cut us, to make us more fruitful. May Lent be this beautiful, beautiful time of pruning for each of us. May it be so. Amen. The ashen mark is a beautiful symbol that you wear on your forehead and your physical body. It's a reminder that we come from the earth and that we return to the earth, and that in between we can get to do with this consciousness that each of us has been given, this container of consciousness. How will we use it? What will we do? And so as we mark ourselves with these ashes, we bless these ashes as a symbol of God's grace in each of our lives, that it would remind us of the truth that we come from God, that we return to God, and in between we learn how to love God, ourselves, and one another more deeply. We'll be serving in these two stations, so I invite you to come forward on this side and on this side, and we will place the mark upon your forehead in the sign of the cross. I invite you to do so as consciously as possible. O Lord, our God, creator of the heavens and the earth, fashioner of each of our souls, we thank you for this time together marking the beginning of Lent. We know your Spirit is with us in each of our journeys, and that our journey's end is you, always you. We ask for your blessing upon each of our intentions, and we ask for your word to be alive and active in our lives through the silence. We pray this in and through Christ, who has gone into the wilderness before us to show us the way. Amen. I invite you to leave in silence.